Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
Welcome, everyone. This, the 58th episode of Level 11P7 here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. And we've got some new voices, new agents who have just been cleared to join the discussion here in the studio.
Cleared being a lightly used term, I think.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Basically, they were available.
Yeah. Like, hey, anytime you want to show up, just pop in. Jason Hunt here in the studio with Maya Aids.
I'm trying to come up with a new voice.
Allie the intern is here. Allie Ulrich.
Hello.
Dan Hanley.
Hello.
And Mr. Curtis Smith from Team Zombie.
Hello.
Who was writing recaps of Wayward Pines.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
At least he's predictable.
And then was it? Well, although I can understand why.
Sometimes it takes a long time to think of a nice thing to say about something.
Yep.
And his mama done taught him, if I ain't got nothing nice to say, just don't say nothing at all.
She didn't mention that.
Oh. That's right. Okay, and joining us from our satellite office across town, Mr. Christopher Jensen is here as well via Google.
Hello, I forgot my access card, but someone left the back door open.
Okay, see.
And, gotta have your card, man.
And it would be really nice if Google would pay us for that mention, but they don't. So it will be the last one for this particular show.
Has somebody tried hitting them up for the...
No.
Well, I'm going to write them a strong...
Although, never hurts to ask.
Although we do make a little bit on our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. We get some ad revenue there, but I think we're up to about $18.
Fandango. Fandango, right?
Yeah. Yes, we are a Fandango affiliate as well.
And even though it's not this show, we really like them. One of our shows, H2O, is sponsored.
Yes. Yes, it is sponsored by Superhero Stuff. And we're going to be adding another, I guess you could say, another sponsor across the board with Atomic Cotton, because they make all of our T-shirts, and so we're gonna be working something out with them.
Nice.
Okay, so the usual process for this particular show, those of you who are familiar with it will know, this is the show in which we talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that includes the TV, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, all the movies. And usually we'll record every week immediately following the episode of whatever TV show is on. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the main one. But in the summer, since there's nothing going on the TV, then we expand our scope a little bit and do a monthly show just talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe at large. We could probably touch on a little bit in the print comic book stuff, but Maya would look a little bit befuddled.
And that's putting it mildly.
Well, and you wouldn't be the only one, because Marvel has just completely changed their universe.
Again!
In the print.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's
yes.
All been done. Well, and this is not an again. This is probably, I would say, the first time since they launched the Ultimate Marvel titles, which did not replace 616, but it ran concurrently with it.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really rebooted in such a huge scale endeavor like they're doing now with the whole Secret Wars and mm-hmm. all new, all Marvel type stuff. So.
Yeah, DC's rebooted a couple times, but Marvel has kept to their own.
Yeah.
Universe.
Yeah, DC has rebooted their reboots. I mean, it's crazy what they've done. And then, and not to get off on a DC conversation yet, but they just had the series Convergence,
mm-hmm.
which 30th anniversary of Crisis on Infinite Earths, and it erases everything that Crisis on Infinite Earths did.
Oh, boy.
Money well spent.
Yes, yes. So, although it did last for 30 years. So, anyway,
so basically, Barry Allen is still alive and they're all different universes again?
yeah. Well, the multiverse has been there for a while.
Well, yeah.
And we are looking at the question of whether or not we're going to get alternate dimensions and multiversal type of things in Phase 3 of Marvel, and that's something mm-hmm. we'll get to a little bit later because Kevin Feige had some things to say about that mm-hmm. at the Ant-Man premiere, mm-hmm. which was last night. We're recording this on a Tuesday, the red carpet premiere to which we were not invited.
Oh,
got lost
again.
In the mail.
I passed by that on my way to see Ted 2. There were people lined up for the entire lobby of the theater that I went to was roped off, and there was like this little corridor where everybody else could walk to get to their movies. And yep. It was just all.
Was there an Ant-Man screening here in Kansas City last night?
I don't know if it was Ant-Man or Terminator recent.
Yeah, okay. All right.
When is Terminator open?
This weekend.
Tomorrow.
It's coming. Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, must have been a preview screening for that then.
Okay.
Probably.
All right. Yeah, because the big red carpet premiere for Ant-Man was out in L.A. Stan Lee made it after being hospitalized over the weekend, apparently. But he was there at the screening.
Did his hair finally try to fight back?
No. Now we be nice here, Mr. Smith.
Sorry. He's got a beautiful head of hair.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny. We were at Maker Faire over the weekend mm-hmm. here in Kansas City. And there was a guy that was there. It was like, Stan Lee's here.
Actually, that was with iBot, the Iron Brothers of Topeka.
Right, and they're cosplayers, and they have a guy that looks like Stan Lee.
It's their dad, actually.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
And I was talking to him one time, and apparently they went to a convention doing their Iron Man cosplay, the full Iron Man and War Machine, mm-hmm. and they had him with them. Stan Lee's wife was at that.
Mm.
And she did a double take and said, wait a minute, he's supposed to be in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or something like that.
Oh, that's
almost
funny.
Dead
that's
on. Fantastic cosplay on that.
Now,
he doesn't seem to have to do much at all. I mean, he has the glasses, he just wears the khaki pants. And
yeah, he looks a lot like Stan Lee. I mean, now
with the mustache and everything.
The first time I saw him at the Maker's Faire this weekend, I said, oh, look, George Romero.
okay, let's start.
And then I had to look again. I was like, okay, yeah. That's Stanley.
Okay, and we are going to talk
a cameo.
Yeah, we are going to talk a little bit about the Ant-Man premiere a little bit because Ant-Man does feed into a discussion of some other things that are coming down the pipeline.
Strange things.
But we're going to start. We're going to start with Spider-Man because that has been the big hullabaloo story. Out of a lot of things. So we're going to start with Spider-Man, Spider-Pig. this is an article from birthmoviesdeath.com. Devin Farsi, the writer. Headline, Kevin Feige, next Spider-Man will have new villains, John Hughes vibe.
What?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
What?
This, we're going to talk about now remember the deal between Marvel and Sony is that Marvel now gets to play with Spider-Man in the
yes.
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Finally.
Yes.
We get a real Marvel Spider-Man. So
it's the Breakfast Club with superpowers.
It's basically wow. That's what it's going to be.
That's been a bit extreme. I mean, they're actually just trying to illustrate that it's going to be a coming-of-age story instead of an origin. I mean, they're overplaying the John Hughes element, but it'll be in there, I'm sure.
I don't know. I think it would be interesting to see what kind of movie that would be, because John Hughes, for a lot of people, especially our age,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to date mm-hmm. we're going to date most of us here in the room,
sorry.
Except Allie. Allie's sitting there going, John Hughes?
Who the heck?
Huh? What?
I looked him up. So I know who he is.
John Hughes. For those of you who don't know, John Hughes was a writer and director who was responsible for most of the formative teen angst movies of our teen years, basically.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the 80s and 90s got me Pretty in Pink, mm-hmm. The Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so
Home
many.
Alone.
Just, a lot of the Brat Pack movies were his. Just
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Just did he do that one? Yes. Yeah, that's right, he did.
Just because
basically
it needs to
anything
be said.
Set in Chicago.
Yeah. Shermerville.
Just because it needs to be said at this point, get off my lawn.
Yeah. Well, and I think that would be an interesting take on the Spider-Man character, because you do have, like Chris says, you do have the emotional soap opera-y, you know, teen angst, high school, you know, that kind of thing.
And it
opens up a lot of opportunity to bring in most of the supporting cast that we have not seen yet. Flash Thompson, mm-hmm. Betty Brant, you know, all of these characters that have basically been ignored in the last five movies.
It shouldn't
and
be much of a stretch.
The reason for that is obviously because that they've got a younger actor and now they can sign him on to multiple movies and really explore those early school years.
Exactly. Yeah, Tom Holland, who's another Brit, mm-hmm. going to be playing Peter Parker, and of course everybody's, you know, certain segments of the audience are having a cow because we're not getting Miles Morales yet. We're getting the white one. But you've got to have Peter Parker to set up the legacy for Miles Morales to be a Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. You have to. I mean, that's just the way it is. But in the Marvel in the movie universe now, Peter Parker doesn't have to die for Miles Morales to take over. Mm-hmm. They could both be a version of Spider-Man of some sort. This is brand new.
Right.
They haven't had a spider character in
the MCU.
The MCU yet. So you can do that. You can have them both, but you've got to have Peter Parker first.
Yeah. And as for,
you also mentioned the actual restrictions by Sony, right? That came through.
Yes. Part of the deal. Well, see, there's two sets of rules. There's a set of rules for Spider-Man, the way that character is portrayed. And then there's a set of rules for Peter Parker. And that's what gave everybody the clue that Peter Parker was going to be the first Spider-Man that showed up in the Marvel Universe, was the fact that they had this set of criteria. You know, Peter Parker is from Queens. He lives with his aunt. Uncle was killed by, you know, all of these different things that are
that have already been done.
Well, yeah, but they're also indicative of the importance of staying faithful to the source material. Because if you look at the list of things required of you know, Sony saying Peter Parker must be this, it's Peter Parker from the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I think
not
part
the Peter
of that,
Parker that they've already set up in the movies.
Well, the Peter Parker they set up in the movies is pretty much the one from the comic books. But
yeah.
they're not going to
start with the death of Uncle Ben. It's going to be
no, there's not no right, more which is no more origin stories.
We already know the origin.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. So, but I think that Sony looked over at Fox. Sony looked at the Fantastic Four project and the fan reaction to the casting of Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. And Sony went, okay, we don't want that. Mm-hmm. We don't want that backlash. So if you're gonna do Spider-Man, Spider-Man is gonna be like this. If you're gonna do Peter Parker's Spider-Man, Peter Parker's this, because we don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Plus,
I think that played into a lot of it.
Plus, you've got to consider that most of the what would be their audience even would know Peter Parker, mm-hmm. but it's only the comic book fans that would know Miles Morales.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True too.
And exactly.
So they want to play on what's going to be commonly known. Now,
and you've got to build it. You've got to inform and educate your audience and build that so that they will accept
exactly.
these
and,
other parts
and this
that,
one
that aren't so widely known.
I think that Miles Morales will be part of the Marvel Universe at some point. Mm-hmm. I think either, you know, you get one or two solo films with Peter Parker under your belt, and that opens it up. Either he marries Mary Jane and goes off to Timbuktu and retires, or Doc Ock kills him, or
that doesn't
whatever
make much
happens,
money if
then
he does
Miles
that.
Miles Morales goes off and does and becomes the second one, because according to an interview with Evangeline Lilly, who's playing Janet Van Dyne in Ant-Man, the standard Marvel contract right now is three pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got Tom Holland set up for Peter Parker, he's going to show up in Captain America: Civil War. He's going to do his own solo Spider-Man movie. And that leaves a third picture, which could either be Spider-Man 2, or it could be
Infinity War.
Mm-hmm. If it's Infinity War, Peter Parker dies.
Right.
If it's Spider-Man 2, it's up in the air. You could open it up to more than one Spider character, and you could have Miles Morales and Peter Parker, and then Miles Morales takes over in Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something I was going to mention on the John Hughes thing, a lot of people are kind of a little backlash on that, but I would point out that the most recent cartoon series that went on through the end of when Vortex was on the air,
mm-hmm.
that was basically what that was. Granted, he had the villain of the week and that type of thing, so there was that bit, but there was a lot of the high school and, you mean like that interaction.
Ooh, Spider-Man has a crisis when he has to find a date for prom.
Yeah, basically.
Well, oh, see, and that's Peter. See, that's the essence of Peter Parker, though. I mean, especially when you consider that he's high school age.
Mm-hmm.
What happens at high school age? Everything is life and death.
Exactly.
Yes. And everything is
getting
about
a date.
Getting a date.
Driving the basically. Car. You know.
And he's got that great power and great responsibility thing getting in the way of it.
Being out too late. What's Aunt May going to say?
You know, and you only see you.
I'm sure late at night hanging from a building, he's like, darn these hormones.
Mm-hmm. And being the nerd was a major factor in his thing. Being an outcast nerd.
Exactly. And
well, and this is back when being a nerd was not cool.
Right. Well, see, the thing, but it is, though, with the John Hughes vibe, you can still play with all of that. I mean, this is Freaks and Geeks, and what else?
I'm just saying, it's a fairly recent thing for nerds to be looked upon as not being an outcast.
I still think there's some of that, especially in the younger age. I don't think high school kids are mature enough to recognize that we've taken over yet.
I think it's catching on, but it's not universal.
Well, it could be catching on from the fact that we want to be cool. We want to fit in. They may not necessarily understand the genre. It's like anything else, you know, sports or anything else.
Some
people are going to understand it better than others.
Right.
Some people are going to care more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But this does open up, because I know Feige's been really hot to trot to do the high school years for Peter Parker. So, because there's a lot of story material there to mine. That
almost seems
none
more like a TV show than a movie series, than a mm-hmm. series of movies.
Well,
I mean, if you did this in a TV show, you could do a weekly mm-hmm. teenage
problem,
you know, life and death thing.
And that actually opens up the possibility that Peter Parker could be the movie Spider-Man, and they put Miles Morales on Netflix.
There's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they flip it and they put Peter Parker on Netflix and they give Miles Morales the movies.
Actually, that might
after the first three.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think well, the thing is, I think the whole Netflix and going the series route would be best on a kind of a John Hughes high school thing, because you get to play around with those dynamics more.
That's what I mean. And if you're not trying to play it out over, you know, almost 2 hours time, and you're only doing it in half hour to 1 hour, they're not a full hour, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it's like you can do
once a week, you can do a high school story of... How am I going to get that assignment in and go catch the bad guy?
But I don't think you're going to get Peter Parker in both places. We're getting Peter Parker in the movies. So that has me leaning
If you
want
to do this teenage thing, I think you need to do that in TV series.
The thing is, if you can do The Breakfast Club in 2 hours, but you start throwing in villains and superpowers... You know,
and
that's
don't mess with
kind
the
of an overload
club.
For a two-hour movie.
What they did with the Avengers, right? Where all of a sudden Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.s becomes a wonderful series and everything. I mean, would they do something like that with Spider-Man, where you get, like, I don't know, a family drama about Betty's childhood or something?
Well, no, I'm just saying you could...
Spidey's girl this week,
you could
kind of very special.
You could do... Well, I don't know. I think Maya's right. I think if you're going to do the whole teen angst, Freaks and Geeks, Pretty in Pink, you know, that Breakfast Club type of story, it probably would play out better on Netflix. But
I'm sure it would.
I think the marquee aspect of Peter Parker Spider-Man is going to keep him in the movies.
Yeah.
And you'll get...
That's what people know.
You'll get a Breakfast Club type of thing with supervillains. And then, you know, that maybe that launches Miles Morales into the TV show. And you get, you know, Amazing Spider-Man or Spectacular Spider-Man or Ultimate Spider-Man or whatever on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And because either way, Spider-Man is street level, which is the same as what we're getting with
Daredevil,
Punisher, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, all of
that. You mean rather than street great level, big you mean toys?
Street level means no, you know, not the superpowers, the helipad thing.
Yeah, it's not the mega villains that they're
taking down in the trenches.
Yeah,
because Daredevil
or the alleys.
Daredevil's brilliant in the way it put everything together
and brutal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know Jessica Jones is next, and I still think we should have a Black Widow on Netflix. We're not going to get it, but it would be nice to have.
It doesn't look like they're going to do it in the movie, so they might as well put it on Netflix. Yeah, but do it the, well.
But with the Black Widow series, they could be like Black Widow training camp.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you mm-hmm. do a few, you do, and we had talked about this, Tim and I talked about this on H2O a while back. What you do is you take two or three episodes in the Red Room, in the training. Mm-hmm. You get a couple episodes with Winter Soldier because she had an encounter with him in Iran. You've got Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Hawkeye being assigned to kill her, and he ends up recruiting her. So you've got all of that material that you can pull from to tell her story in the first season or two seasons.
It's all going
to
be flashbacks on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's how they're going to handle it.
Now, I wouldn't mind Natasha Romanoff showing up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That would be cool.
What is her problem? She should have been on there like four times already.
At least.
Let's see. Money, and pregnancy, and money.
You can slap one of those rubber masks.
Let's skip to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because we did get the reveal that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. officially, Season 3, is going to be Secret Warriors, mm-hmm. which is Quake, Daisy Johnson, in charge
AKA
of
Sky.
A powered team, secret team, put together by Agent Coulson.
So we're not going to have the Coulson. Same team that we had before? We're going to go off and it's almost going to be like a spinoff of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No,
I think it's
going to
be an
know.
Inclusion.
I think it's just an expansion of the cast. You've got, what's his name, playing Lincoln, who's been brought on board as a regular.
Haven't they been through enough?
Henry Simmons, who plays Mac, is now going to be a regular as well. Mm-hmm. So you're expanding that. I don't know that Brett Dalton is going to be... He may drop to a recurring... But I haven't heard.
Any hints as to what happened to Gemma?
Gemma's dead.
No. She was just swallowed by a liquid rock.
Swallowed by a rock. What do you want? Yeah. No, I think...
She's just partially dead, you know.
She's floating in a void. That's a portal.
You don't know that she's dead.
No, I don't.
She could have been
not.
Incorporated into the liquid rock thing and... Oh, my gosh.
Well, given that it's a Kree thing,
we assume it's Kree.
We've been told it's Kree.
Sort of.
She could come out of that with powers.
That's what I was hoping.
That'd be so funny.
I don't know who she'd be though.
You know why that's funny? Because she was really against anybody with powers.
Well, then again,
it would be very ironic, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
Well, then again, Sky caught us off guard.
The perfect.
We weren't sure until we found out she was going to be an Inhuman. Then we.
Well, when.
Reduced Quake.
We had to wait a long time.
Yeah, we did.
Now
the thing is special. She's very special. Why? What is special?
It was like 6 hours. Six episodes. I was like, get on with it.
Well, there was a lot of that in the first season, but with Sky, we got our first hint when they started talking about Kyle MacLachlan, mm-hmm. and when they mentioned him playing Cal, everything just fell into place. Like,
but that wasn't until
that's what they're doing.
So, that wasn't until the third season, though.
We haven't gotten into the third
second season.
It just seems
season.
Long. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we could have something similar with Gemma. Maybe it'll fall into place when they drop hints or whatever.
Maybe. And some people are still wanting Taskmaster to show up.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I don't know. We'll see. Okay, so Spider-Man, we've got Spider-Man showing up in Captain America Civil War. Is going to be his first appearance. Captain America Civil War also providing the... one of the scenes that is going to be the end mid-credits of Ant-Man. This was.
Oh. Are there going to be? Do you know already? Are there like
there are two? There
two
are two
things
of
in
them.
The in the
there's,
end of Ant-Man.
There's okay. a mid-credits and then there's an in post-credits.
The Yay!
Post-credits okay. is coming from Captain America: Civil War.
Now they're just being
Civil
mean, you know.
Right.
Sometimes we got places to go after.
John Hughes did it.
I so missed having a post-credits in Age of Ultron.
Yep. I know.
Yeah. It was the.
Was there two in that one?
No, one. Just, okay. just which I don't know. I was glad because I got to tell everybody in my party, okay, there. That was it. Let's go.
Here's what sometimes makes me angry about these post-credit things. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy had an awesome one, and still no Howard the Duck movie.
Oh, I know.
That,
I know.
Yet.
That, if they got that character right in a film, it would be brilliant and hilarious. Mm-hmm. But they.
Man, it hasn't been done yet. I mean,
no,
I mean Howard the Duck hasn't been done well yet.
That's true.
I mean,
well, it's only been the one
shot.
Version.
Yeah.
And that was the George Lucas version.
And that was enough.
Although, after that, after really that post-credit scene with Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Then we got that whole slew of variant covers. Howard the Duck got his own title again. Mm. He's
this is what they did.
He's getting a little bit of a pickup over in the print in the actual comics themselves.
I can't go in comic book stores because of my addictions issues.
The restraining order.
I will buy them all.
I really thought that's what he was talking about. It's like I'm not allowed within 500 yeah. feet of any comic book stores.
Well, I have to say,
maintain the perimeter.
I have to say, there's a slick issue. I for one enjoyed the one Howard the Duck movie, but that's mainly because of Leah Thompson. But you know, that's beside the point.
Sure.
Oh, everybody forgets about that movie. It's really. Kind of
well,
awesome. You
know?
In a cheesy
really
way,
hard.
It is.
Yeah.
People also forget that George Lucas made that movie.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot should've a lot of things
there,
about
really.
That movie.
Of course, they brought it up at the end of George Lucas in Love, yeah. that short film.
Yeah. Okay, Ant-Man.
Mm.
Premiere this week. And according to Kevin Feige, there is a piece in Ant-Man toward the end that ties in with Doctor Strange and starts
sweet.
Introducing some concepts and some things what all will show up in Doctor Strange. Now, Ant-Man is officially the last movie in Phase 2
mm-hmm.
before we get Captain America Civil War kicking off Phase 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, everything that comes from now on, past Ant-Man. I think we just call them Marvel Movie Chapter 7, Marvel Movie Chapter 8, Marvel Movie Chapter 9, because you know, Captain America Civil War is Avengers 2.5. I mean, no matter what Feige is saying about it still being a very Captain America movie...
It's the Avengers.
It's everybody is in this movie, including the Hulk.
Right.
That's not official, but Mark Ruffalo says... that Robert Downey Jr. told him he's in it.
Hmm. Oh.
I'm sure
2 weeks ago.
You could probably confirm that right now on the IMDb page.
Oh, sure, which is always 100% accurate because everything on the internet is always true.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but sometimes
everything
that's
I
how
put
you can
on
find
it
out.
Is.
They do that to throw people off a lot.
But
good, throw us off.
He's
Let's
not,
have something to
He's not officially
about.
In it yet.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It hasn't been officially announced that Mark Ruffalo is part of this, although he's probably the last remaining one. But according to stories online, Ruffalo got told by Downey that he's in it.
Hmm.
Okay.
He's not on
not
the cast list on
no,
IMDb.
He's not on the cast list. He did post on social media a few weeks ago, something on Twitter and something on, I think, Tumblr that made people wonder if maybe he was going to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we haven't gotten any kind of an official anything from anybody about him being in it.
I hope it's not just him doing science and, you know, never becoming the Hulk. That would be such a bummer.
Oh, he's got to be the Hulk because eventually they've got to go to Planet Hulk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes,
you know,
they do.
You know that's coming. It has to be coming, probably in Phase 4.
Probably.
Because we're getting, I mean, General Ross is in Civil War. And there's been rumor that we're going to get Red Hulk.
Oh, boy. Yay!
Ross is in it.
Yeah.
Personally, though, I just don't see William Hurt doing the motion capture. But he might. I don't know. Michael Douglas is in Ant-Man. I mean, come on. We've had Glenn Close. What are you going to do?
That was sound of yours.
You got some A-list actors doing superhero movies.
So when do we see Abomination again?
They did a very smart thing, and they smelled money.
Yeah.
And that's...
Well, and in some cases, I think it's probably, where the grandkids are sitting there going, oh, you've got to do this. You've got to do that movie.
Yeah.
I want to see you in a movie. Oh, yeah. Because what has Michael Douglas done that kids could watch?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I've got Falling Down 2. I think it's really good.
Wall Street.
Jewel of the Nile wasn't too bad, I guess.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a fun
movie.
That's
a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was, but it's still a good movie.
Yeah.
They were talking about in Ant-Man, it was supposed to be like 2001-ish is what he sort of like an ending of 2001. I wonder if it's complete with a slit scan.
It may be. It could very well be that some of what we get in Ant-Man. Now, I'm gonna put a theory out here right now. I have a theory.
Of course you can.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't be a level 11-7.
Let's have the theory fanfare.
Yeah, so he doesn't have one.
What I'm thinking is, since we've gotten
thinking we should have somebody to do sound effects.
Since we've got hints that Doctor Strange is going to be referenced in Ant-Man, and Doctor Strange, we can talk about that in a minute, everything Doctor Strange apparently is not going to be what is in the comic books, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. But I have a feeling that whatever Lang uses to shrink, something is going to go haywire, and he's going to end up doing some transdimensional something before he figures out his suit and he gets back. I think it's just going to be a real quick thing. I don't think it's going to be a story element. I don't think it's going to be a plot point. I think it's just going to be one of those things like, what was that? kind of thing. And it just opens the door. It just cracks the door open just a little bit to give us a hint of the whole, that otherworldly realm thing that we're going to get in Doctor Strange.
So that's not like a whole foot in the door, that's like a pinky toe in the door?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so I understand where we stand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we are going to talk Doctor Strange. We're going to talk Black Panther. We're going to talk Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Because it's got a title now.
Yes, it does.
And we will talk about that and more when Level 117 continues right after this. Don't go anywhere.
We're not puny gods, just puny podcasters. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we. And some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hi folks, my name is Timothy Hardy, and I am one of the co-hosts of H2O, the weekly show about everything genre that I host with Mr. Jason Hunt. And we talk about pretty much anything you need to hear about, or want to hear about, or didn't know you needed to hear about, in the world of sci-fi, fantasy, horror, science fiction, all these great things that we cover every week. And it is just a opportunity for you to tune in and listen to some really, really fun stuff. H2O, scififorme.com. We'd love to have you listen.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% hydro-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
Back on Level 117, the summer edition here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Jason Hunt here, along with Maya Aides.
Mm-hmm.
Allie Ulrich.
Hello.
Dan Hanley.
Hello.
Curtis Smith.
Yeah.
And Christopher Jensen.
Evening.
See? He's there. He's actually yep. there. All right. So, well, see, you know, technology being the way it is.
Yep.
And the fact that this is a Tuesday when we're recording this.
Yep.
Those things...
don't work well for you?
The intersection point of those two things in combination with a lot of other things, you know, it's hit or miss.
You're talking about the alignment of the stars and the technology and the waviums of yeah, the every, network
all of it, all of it, yes.
So
Mercury's in retrograde, guys.
Tell me, Jason, did you feed the Mogwai after midnight?
I did not do.
Okay, because I figured there were gremlins in the system somehow.
No. It's the hand wavium.
Oh, okay.
Because the hand wavium has to be replenished every 3 months.
Oh, okay.
And when...
and we're due?
We're due, yeah.
That's weird. So does my hand lotion.
All right. So we are talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've touched on Spider-Man, Captain America, Ant-Man. Let's talk a little bit. Let's get strange. Let's talk a little bit about Doctor Strange.
Let's get strange. Wait.
Before we go forward, can we talk about the new director for Spider-Man?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I completely skipped over that. John Watts,
yeah, relatively unknown.
Interesting choice.
A movie called Clown. I don't know if any of you have seen it. I have not.
Nope.
But there's a trailer that hit the web recently for a movie called Cop Car, starring Kevin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
It looks phenomenal. Like, and I think it's a really good time for, like, you know, Marvel's track record of picking newer directors.
Well, mm-hmm. It is an interesting choice. But besides Cop Car, you look at his IMDb listing. The Onion News Network is one of his major credits.
Oh wow!
Which, okay, he's done a short film called Jewish Santa Is Coming. The Scariest Show on Television. The Invisible Dog. Now, these are all shorts or TV things. And so I'm looking at this, I'm just like, it's a mixed bag. But the fact that he's got the Onion News Network on him tells me that we're going to get maybe not Edgar Wright sense of humor, but the sensibility when you see Feige talking about this being feeling like a John Hughes film. There's a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor in Hughes movies.
Yeah,
you know, and some of it's dry wit, some of it's ironic humor.
Some of it's slapstick.
Well, the thing is, if you have a director with a mixed bag, that's basically shows some good versatility.
Yeah,
it's not somebody who's cornered into a particular style.
Correct me, Cop Car is not a comedy, is it?
Has he done any? Major film, though. I mean, because it sounds like you've taken an independent filmmaker, thrown him into a studio movie where his hands are going to be tied the whole time because there's so much money involved.
I have said before that because when we talked about this when I think we were talking about Michelle McLaren coming on board. Because she's directed Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Alan Taylor, who's directed Game of Thrones. And what the analogy that I've come up with is if you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe as if it was a TV series, and each movie is an episode on that TV series. Mm. Well, what did the directors do? On a TV series, you've got the showrunners, you have the producers that are always there, you have writers and directors that are in and out. They could be on the, you know, there could be the writer's room, they could be on staff, or you could get some one-off comes in, writes a script, and goes away. Same with the directors. The directors rotate out. The overriding concern for the showrunners is that from episode to episode to episode, there's consistency in the look, there's consistency in the storytelling style, and all of that. So if you look at the Marvel Universe movies, and now the TV stuff, as a series, then it makes sense that you've got directors that they can control. Because it's also not about the director, it's about Feige and the studio, which is one of the reasons why Joss Whedon had a problem with Age of Ultron, because the studio has their agenda. because it's got to fit into the world building for everything else. Whedon's got a story he wants to tell, and the studio sits there and goes, "No, you've got to include this and this and this and this. Take this out because it's got to fit into the big puzzle." And that's one of the reasons why Whedon's done.
And that's what you get with
deals with the fact that the directors are also young and inexpensive. They want to keep that fresh talent in there and keep their costs down.
Exactly.
If they bring back something like a Favreau, then they end up having escalating pay scale. But I'm excited for Watts because Love It or Hate It, Spider-Man 2 was the first film that we really started to get the true kind of like wit and snark of Spider-Man while he's actually web-slinging. Mm-hmm. And if this guy's got comedy background, then I think that's one element. I'm hopeful that he can really capture that in Spider-Man.
I agree. I think that is going to, if it plays right, I think it'll end up giving us a good Spider-Man movie. But it's Marvel. And as much as people are sitting there thinking that the whole thing's about to come off the rails, and yes, we're starting to see a little bit of stretch marks, so far Marvel hasn't missed. Mm-hmm. And people coming out of the Ant-Man premiere last night were sitting there saying, "This is so good. it's like unicorns and candy. It's good." nothing but positive buzz on Ant-Man. Of all movies, Ant-Man.
Well, they brought
an Ant-Man.
They brought out Guardians of the Galaxy, so there you go.
Exactly, yeah. Well, see, Guardians of the Galaxy was the Marvel Star Wars.
Yeah.
And they caught that wave just at the right time when you've got The Force Awakens and all this stuff's coming out. Mm-hmm. Here comes Marvel with their own Star Wars movie.
And it happens to be owned by the same company right now.
I really liked it.
Well, it was great.
Yeah.
It was fun. And the second one looks like it's going to be just as good.
It's slightly different tone, but yeah.
But it's got a title now. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Sensible.
Is the official
pragmatic
title.
Pragmatic.
Yeah. And I do think we're going to get, I think we're going to get more of the whole Star-Lord's father storyline.
And that's what they're talking about. It's going to be in there.
Yeah.
Oh, what was about this? Oh, wait, are we doing Doctor Strange? I got a thing about that. But
about what?
About the whole Star-Lord's father thing?
Yeah, we can go ahead with that.
Okay.
We'll do Doctor Strange a little bit later.
Okay. I saw one of those internet memes, and they're all true.
Yes.
But it was suggested that Star-Lord's father was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Did you guys see this?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
There's a whole article. It's on newsarama.com. This is a theory that was put forth.
I love theories so much.
And the guys over at Newsarama say that they have figured out, as far as the Marvel Cinematic Universe is concerned, because the dad is completely different from who he is in the comic books. Mm-hmm. The guys over at Newsarama, they lay out the evidence. Okay. Writer-director James Gunn has confirmed it will not follow comic book canon, will not be King Jason or whatever. Gunn has also recently downplayed the importance of Peter's father being a surprise reveal. Peter's dying mother, his father had an angelic appearance, at least in the abstract. Yondu, leader of a notorious band of pirates, he's hired by the father to pick up and deliver the son.
Right.
At the moment of his mother's death, Yondu opts instead to raise Peter instead of turning him over to his father. Yondu doesn't like his dad. The Xandarians reveal that Peter's father is of an unknown ancient race. And they're taking all of this and basically speculating that Peter Quill's father is the Collector.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
Which does make sense since
that's not the one I heard.
Well, the thing is, if the Collector is collecting all these races, what if the human
race to collect a human?
He wants to collect a human, but what if the human? What if us humans wouldn't survive whatever he does in there, whatever? And so he's got to have a half breed, maybe. But yet, what gets me is they talk about, all right, we've seen it before, saw him in Guardians of the Galaxy, but nobody has mentioned the possibility that it's Howard the Duck.
Mm. Okay, what was the meme that you saw, Chris?
Yeah, I saw one where it was basically all of the stuff. James Gunn said all the stuff, right?
Uh-huh, right.
And then they were like, here's some interesting things. I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't, because this is going to be terrible, but I'll try to make it funny.
We can have her look it up.
Yeah, what,
we can have Allie look it up.
See it?
Yeah, I don't remember where I saw it.
Well, it's a Facebook meme.
Yeah, it was a Facebook meme of some kind, but if you do a search for Star-Lord's father, you probably find all of the theories. And so you have to sift through them for an hour. Anyway, in the collector's collection room,
mm-hmm.
we see... I don't know how briefly, I didn't go back and revisit this, but there's a pod in there, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then...
the cocoon.
The cocoon, right?
Yep.
And later, in the Howard the Duck moment, we see the same pod busted open.
Right.
So whoever was in that...
Well...
Which they had a theory about.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do, too.
I just went blank on the name of the character that was in the cocoon.
Mm. Adam Warlock.
Yes, thank you.
What was his name?
Adam Warlock.
Oh, yeah, that was the name.
Who's a fairly substantial character in the cosmic realm of Marvel Comics, I do believe. Mr. Harvey's not here to confirm that or not, but yeah, I mean, it could be either one.
Mm-hmm.
It could be either one. It would be interesting if it was Adam Warlock. I hadn't thought about that.
Adam Warlock was a huge part in Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, there you go.
Precursor to Infinity War.
Right. Starting to find supporting evidence now.
The problem I have with the Collector being Star-Lord's father is that the Newsarama article suggested that he found his mother and then gave her cancer.
Oh, mm-hmm.
To kill her off, like, and then once she died, that's when Yondu went and picked him up.
Wow! So it wasn't like love cancer; it was totally not. No. Oh.
Yeah. So that's kind of.
Well, what are you saying? Love is a cancer.
Well, if you're hanging out with somebody who's radioactive, you're not going to know until you're already like
too far gone,
chemoed in.
Well, you know, there are all sorts of different ways that could play out if
I like to either one of them.
I kind of like the idea of Adam Warlock being the dad more than I do the Collector, just simply because as a writer, it does have an appeal to me from the story build, the world building aspects of that, because it does expand into the whole Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War stuff that we're getting in the rest of it. Because right now, Guardians of the Galaxy is way out there off on its own. And it's not connected, really, with the rest of the MCU. That actually would serve to bring it in.
Except with Asgard.
No. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't have any ties to Asgard yet. We do have that one scene where they brought one of the Infinity Stones.
Right.
And we've got another Infinity Stone and the power stone,
mm-hmm.
you know, the purple one.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of those two items, there's nothing else in Guardians of the Galaxy that it doesn't interact with the rest of the MCU yet. Bringing Adam Warlock in would help to do that, I think.
I'm still holding out hope that John C. Reilly is his father.
Oh, that would be so sweet.
It would be interesting.
That'd be funny.
He gave up all that astral nonsense to raise a couple blue kids.
And then the wife sits there and goes, "You got some splaining to do."
Yeah.
Right?
Sorry, it was a long trip and we were really bored.
Made a little pit stop.
That's Father's Nova Corps.
It was 20 minutes.
Well,
tops.
And you know, and people, you know, there's still that part of the whole thing, the whole Nova Corps, you know, Rick Ryder, all that group that still has yet to play out, because mm-hmm. we've had the Nova Corps, but we haven't had Nova. You know, he hasn't shown up yet. So,
as far as we can tell,
there's room to expand that direction with the cosmic side of the Marvel Universe. Now with Doctor Strange, we're going to get the supernatural magic side. Let's talk about that for a second, because it's going to get weird, they say.
As if Doctor Strange isn't already weird.
Well, you know, this is the one that I think, now that Ant-Man has proven that it's okay, this is the one that people are concerned about because of the changes, because of the things that they're doing different from the source material. Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. The Ancient One actually being a title instead of a
person.
One single person.
Right.
The idea of, although that's not unusual, because on Arrow they did it with Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul was not the first Ra's al Ghul. It's an inherited name, title, position, personhood thing in the Arrow universe. So it's
like the president.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But I think, you know, I think everybody was sat there and went, Tilda Swinton is the Ancient One? Yeah, cool, gender bend. Oh, wait, she's white. And then suddenly it wasn't okay. You know, when your sociopolitical viewpoint interferes with your appreciation for whatever is going on in the story, I think you have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, let's not consider her incredible ability to play any character.
I know.
Anything. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even have to be a person. Yeah.
But it's interesting to see some of the group's reaction to, oh, Tilda Swinton. Yes, they made Ancient One a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then it flips right around almost immediately after that, went, oh, wait a minute, that takes away a Chinese character. Bad.
Mm. Oh, you know, if they make her Chinese, though,
the Ancient One is from Tibet.
Right.
So why not have an Asian, like somebody like James Hong, take your pick. Who's out there still that could play the Ancient One?
Right.
Why Tilda Swinton? Okay, great. She's a wonderful performer. More power to her. Great. But just like the Michael B. Jordan thing over on Fantastic Four, why would you take an actor who doesn't fit the role based on the source material and do this kind of a change? Now, we do have indications from Kevin Feige that they may not go to Tibet. So that might pull some of that out, but he is going east. So he's going to some country to learn the mystic arts from the Ancient One.
So there's actually some hope that Nicolas Cage may one day play Superman then.
Well,
talking about not fitting the role.
just let him finish the Ghost Rider series.
I heard. Talk about Ghost Rider. There is a rumor that Ghost Rider and Blade are both being considered for Netflix.
Interesting.
That's a rumor.
That'd be all right.
They would fit.
Yeah.
They would totally fit.
Especially going back to Marvel's run with Marvel Knights comic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All those, including Punisher, were kind of all part of that little kind of sub-universe.
And now we get Punisher coming in on season two. And the word is he's going to be the villain, which I think is going to be interesting, because the Punisher is basically a grim, dark, grittier version of Daredevil. I mean, Daredevil doesn't kill much, you know, but you know, the Punisher, I mean, he's
if you litter or jaywalk, you're dead.
He's extreme. He's extreme, and it's going to be interesting to see. And I think they are going to play this off of, you play this as a way of Matt Murdock doing some self examination, because he's going to see the bad guy is doing the same thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should rethink what I do.
Mm-hmm. They need to be careful though, so that they don't get too crowded, because they've already talked about needing to continue talking about the Kingpin. They've added Punisher. They've talked about Elektra. you've got to tie up the other things with the hand. I mean, there's a lot of story that they're starting to pack into this thing.
Yeah, but, true. Well, with the Kingpin in prison, I think that can just be one of those things that just kind of gets referenced every now and again. Elektra, I don't think, is going to be a major player in season two. I think she's going to show up. I don't know if we're going to get Bullseye now that Jason Statham has pulled out of the project.
Right.
You know, they could be rethinking that whole thing, and maybe the fact that the Punisher is there instead of Bullseye, maybe he's a replacement.
Could be. Now, what would be interesting? What would be interesting is if Fisk actually ends up helping out Daredevil, sort of the
Hannibal Lecter type,
the enemy.
Enemy of my
Enemy of my enemy is my friend.
I don't know.
I was going to throw out another random theory and say, what if Fisk actually hires Punisher?
He wouldn't work for money. Plus,
this is all brand new stuff. They could change
could
it.
Could
they
could be,
change
but
it.
It's it. To me, it's kind of hard to think that. Hard to think of Frank Castle working for Kingpin. He's basically hated the Kingpin from the beginning in the comics. So yeah, it's something new, but I mean, it's a bit of a stretch.
Although if you establish maybe not that Frank Castle works for the Kingpin, but if, and you'd probably have to do this with a flashback, if you establish that there's a relationship of some sort between the two that ended up with them on opposite sides of whatever, then you got some motivation for the Punisher to be the way he is. And of course, the whole family getting killed thing, that helps too.
Well, yeah, you'd have to change the background on that. But I mean, the very fact that Fisk was the villain in season one is what made me think that the Punisher could stem out of Daredevil to begin with.
Yeah.
Because basically, Kingpin was enemy numero uno for the Punisher.
It'll be interesting to see.
Sorry, let's not forget the little teaser at the end of the season two with Sticks and Stone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you've got that whole bit that's going to probably play into season two as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, what, four arcs?
Do you think they'll do? Do you think they'll do an origin story with the Punisher?
You know, I don't know that they would. I think he'll be fully formed, and he'll show up, and he'll already be doing what he's doing, and Daredevil. And now suddenly he's the bad guy, and Daredevil's got to stop him.
And it would be interesting as if Daredevil uncovers his background and learns more about him.
Yeah, because season one they did a lot of flashbacks, so they might reveal the Punisher's origin that way, same as they did the origin of Daredevil in season one.
Great casting for him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good fun to watch, because Jon Bernthal did really well over on Walking Dead. He was very popular over there. He's got a following.
Oh, he was our favorite one to hate for a while.
Okay, so Black Panther. We haven't even gotten to Captain Marvel yet. But that's okay, because we don't know very much about Captain Marvel yet. Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Going to show up in Captain America Civil War. Early in his career, he has just taken on the mantle of Black Panther from his father. We have the introduction of Ulysses Klaue in Age of Ultron. The word is that Martin Freeman is playing a British minister-level government official of some sort. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. So he's probably going to play into Black Panther's story as well, because the character he's rumored to be playing is also a villain for Black Panther. So there is that. So they're laying, obviously, in Civil War, they're laying the groundwork for Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that Black Panther is in Civil War is to provide an objective third party who's not on either side of the whole metahuman registration thing.
And it's the guy with all the vibranium.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason they're getting involved in outside Wakanda stuff is because there's too much vibranium out there. People are misusing it. I think that's the angle they're going to take. It's going to be interesting to see, because phase three opens up so many new angles on all of this stuff. I mean, Captain Marvel is going to be more cosmic. And then you've got
America
the Inhumans.
America goes cosmic.
Well, then you've got the Inhumans, and that's going to start playing out a little bit more in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. leading up. But, you know, we've got so many years before Inhumans even hits the theater.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be
4 years out.
They're really going to have to watch how they do that.
Still 4 years out?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
2019.
Yeah. And now they're talking the possibility of Ant-Man getting a sequel. That's not even on the books yet. But the guys have sat there and they said, yeah, we're up for a sequel. We'll do one. If they want to do one, we're in. We're ready to go. So, yeah, there is also, because we didn't talk about the other mid-credits bit from Ant-Man. I don't want to spoil it, though.
Yeah.
Don't. I haven't even seen the movie.
Okay. I'm not going to spoil it here.
You saw the movie?
No.
But it was released online.
It's already online. not the scene. Not the scene. A description of it. So it could be completely fake.
Go right on ahead.
It could be a lie. All I'll say is the other scene. No, wait. I'm not gonna spoil it. The other scene involves one of the characters.
Which one?
I won't say who she is. That's all I'm gonna say. I don't want to spoil it.
Black Canary? Black Canary?
No. Black Canary is DC.
I like that one.
Which one?
The lady.
Which Black Canary?
That lady that loves Green Arrow.
Black Canary that's now going to be White Canary, or Black Canary that's took over for Black Canary?
I don't see what I mean. This is why I'm not allowed to go in comic book stores, because you just have to buy everything and then decide.
Yeah, this is why. Well, did you see? Well, no, because this is not a DC podcast. We'll talk about it on the DC podcast. Rogues Gallery. You can check it out on iTunes. Okay, so I think that's all on my list. Does anybody else have anything we want to cover?
If we were talking about Doctor Strange, and didn't say much on Doctor Strange because we're going to get back to it.
Say more. Yes. Go ahead.
Because they were talking about that things are going to get very
weird,
strange, weird, unusual. And this is, of course, different dimensions, and we're bringing magic into it now, which at first they weren't really talking much about.
Mind-bending weirdness, says Kevin Feige.
No. Good. Because, all I've had for years, I mean, I love I like Doctor Strange a lot. It was a good comic and everything. And whichever version I read, I don't even know. But, the only thing I've seen in a long time is Orpheus from Venture Brothers. He's my Doctor Strange right now.
Uh-huh. Well, this one's supposed to be a lot different from what we're used to in the comics.
As long as he looks like a Dracula, it's cool.
Well, it's Benedict Cumberbatch.
He looks like a Dracula.
It works. That was my best attempt at a Curtis Smith voice. Yeah. It works.
Need to put some butter on that.
Yeah, as much as...
On the voice?
On you.
Hey now, PG-13. PG-13.
Well, as much as they've said about Doctor Strange, they really haven't said much. You know, they talk about it a lot, but it's all about the mind-bending weirdness, and it's different from the comics.
Yeah. Well...
Which doesn't tell you a squat.
Do you think when he sticks his hand out to do a spell or something, there'll be a little ring of ancient runes that sparkles out, and that'll be like a CGI thing that happens?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That would be so great.
Yeah,
it'll be anime.
I love that art.
Well, and in the comic books, they're apparently about to reinvent Doctor Strange anyway. So it could be that they're bringing the comics more in line with the movies,
mm-hmm.
in order for everything to kind of run parallel a little bit closer. I don't know. I don't know. I never read Doctor Strange, so I don't know. What's changed?
I watched some of the animated Netflix, the series that was on Netflix. It was an animated series, Doctor Strange.
Oh, huh? Yep.
Nobody?
Haven't seen it.
It's
going on my list, though.
A bit of a yawner, but, you know. It really is. I think they, you know, I don't know. They're going to have to get to the point really fast with Doctor Strange, because they didn't do that in the animated thing, and I can see how that would be an issue.
Stretch things out a bit.
Yeah, they tend. Yeah, well, when it's episodic, you know, it's just like comic books. You get 15 pages to tell one thing, and then you have to wait another week, a month, or something. You know.
No.
They don't make a methadone for comic book people. You can't. You gotta have it.
No.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Just you know, be careful. That's all
okay,
I'm saying.
That's why I don't haven't gotten started.
Comic responsibly.
But it makes me wonder how they're going to present them, because back in Winter Soldier, they first made mention of Doctor Strange Stephen Strange,
and the suggestion is that one of the Phase 3 movies, we don't know which, but the likelihood that it's Doctor Strange, would be set in the past. Kind of like Captain America was. You know, Captain America was a period piece in World War II, and then they bring him forward at the end of that movie to pull him into everything else. Doctor Strange could be similar to that. They could spend a third, a half. They could do flashbacks. They could do back and forth, you know, modern day history and flashback to the origin with something else going on in now. But the suggestion, the idea that Strange was already on the list being monitored during Winter Soldier suggests that he's already, that when we see him, he'll be fully formed.
Well, maybe not necessarily, because in the Doctor Strange comics, he started off a brilliant surgeon before taking up magic, and he was very smart. The context that they mentioned him was it can pick out potential people, everything from a high school kid, which I'm assuming they were talking about Spider-Man. I don't know.
No, they were talking about Amadeus Cho. Oh,
okay. That's who they were talking about. Or Stephen Strange, and threw his name out, but they were talking about, you know, brilliant people who were potentials, not necessarily already formed in their hero form. And they mentioned they actually mentioned the name Stephen Strange.
Right.
Yeah,
so that would, I don't know, in kind of the context, it would be almost as if he was not really the Doctor Strange form yet.
Well,
that's just kind of what I implied
maybe,
from it.
Although if they go with the traditional origin story, he really doesn't have any, I mean, there is no build up to powers. He's not a metahuman, he's not a mutant, he doesn't have a gene. There's nothing that,
but
he's just a brilliant surgeon.
But he's
a very smart guy.
He's extremely smart, which the question is,
yeah,
he...
But the only reason that he goes to even find the magic is to get the use of his hands back. So without that accident that takes away his surgical skills, he would have no reason to be anywhere on any of the lists. So I think that he's probably on the list because he's already got the powers.
Possibly, but the thing is his intellectual capability in this going to be on par with Hank Pym or Tony Stark or, you know, Bruce Banner and this type of thing? Because that may be what they're looking for.
It could be. Maybe.
Because if he's got the intellect on par with them, then he's definitely on the list being targeted.
Yeah, but if he's not pursuing anything that...
Well, they were talking potentials.
Yeah, it could go either way.
Because they talked about it would pick out people who are potential.
Yeah.
It said nothing about those are actually pursuing.
Although we did see... in Age of Ultron, we saw Amadeus Cho's mother.
That is true.
The kid can't be too far behind. What if he's one of the Secret Warriors?
That'd be wild.
We'll never know.
Yeah, we
will. Well, we might know.
Find out next season.
Jeez.
They're not that secret, I
guess. Secret from everybody else, but not from us, because we're smart.
That's right. We look through the
magic portal.
We know stuffs and things, and we discuss stuffs and things here.
We have a magic portal called a boob tube.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of magic portals, we're gonna jump through ours and wrap this up tonight. If you've got comments or theories or ideas of what you'd like to see or what you're hoping to see in Phase 3, or if you've seen Ant-Man By the time this movie comes, by the time we release this, it might be out. You might have hit a sneak peek or screening or something. Give us your reaction. Let us know what you think. And you can send us an email. You can do a comment. Email is level117@sci-fi-for-me.com.
What was that?
Sorry.
It was a bird.
And that was Chris's thought on the whole notion.
Exactly.
It was a well-timed one.
Yeah, and so and you can also find us on all the social media. So you notice it doesn't derail me at all.
Yeah.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, all of the social media except MySpace. And
we need to form a band just to get on MySpace.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. And that's going to do it for us for this edition. We will be back in about a month's time for another episode.
More or less.
By then, we may know a little bit more about what's going on with Agent Carter. Maybe. We could talk a little bit more about maybe we'll get some information about Captain Marvel. We'll see on that. And we might have a little bit more on what's going on with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, and Ant-Man will have already been out. So
Ant-Man will be out, so we can talk about that as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's our next episode.
And special guest, Stan Lee's kind of lookalike guy.
You know, stranger things have happened on this show. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Curtis Smith.
Bye.
Maya Aides.
Good night.
Allie Ulrich.
Good night.
Dan Handley.
Good night.
Chris Jensen.
Good night.
All right. Well, that's Google. That's Google. See, you know,
it sounds like a bat or something.
Google forced another mention. See, that's how they work. And my name is Jason Honda. Thank you very much for listening here to Level 117 on Sci-Fi From Your Radio. We will be back with another episode soon.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.